Well, good morning, Trinity Covenant Church. My name is Austin. I am one of the pastors here that is blessed to call this the place we serve. And we are so glad that you're joining us here in person or online. Our prayer is that you meet the living God, not only through his word, through worship, but the experience of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that you might see is there's something different today. We have the extreme pleasure that we haven't done before is that we, as your pastors, are going to teach together this morning about what it looks like to share our story with our neighbors. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting, my dad growing up, I don't know if anybody else did this, but I found interesting is my dad sold Bibles door to door when he was young. Like, could you imagine that form of like a job, but also kind of like evangelism, that he would go and knock on doors, and he wasn't like the Jehovah's Witness, but he would come up and be like, yeah, no, the Christian Bible. And that moment of like, whether they believed it or not, the sheer kind of anxiety and terror that it is a knock on someone's door, I would say probably like decades ago, not recently, and have people come up and then begin to tell them why they should buy a Bible, whether they're already Christians or not. And I think the fact that that anxiety was real then, I think it's even more now. That even though we might not be selling Bibles, sometimes I feel like we're selling Jesus. Like to our neighbors. Like our neighbors, when they come out to find out that we're a Christian, we start to like do what we've been taught maybe or what's expected of us. And that is to kind of go through and sell Jesus. And that brings anxiety and terror to people's heart. Like to talk about Jesus with somebody that doesn't know Jesus brings anxiety. Am I going to say the wrong thing? Am I going to say something that's actually not true? Do I even know what I'm saying? And the one thing that we want to talk about, when we're talking about the art of neighboring, loving your neighbors, one of the things we're looking at today is I think Jesus gives a better way than just selling Bibles or selling Jesus. We believe that if Jesus is the light of the world and calls us to be the light of the world where we live, then that light should be seen and felt. And so should God's love to our neighbors.
Please now stand in body or in spirit for the reading of God's word. As I read the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, hear Jesus' call to be the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Our scripture this morning reminds us of who we are. You are light. Actually, you aren't just light. Our scripture reads, you are the light of the world. Jesus is the source of our light. When he brought life into us, he shared this life. He shared this light with us so that we could be his light bearers, that we could shine so bright, so that the world might see. A candle provides light not because it is told to or supposed to, but because it is what it was made to do. Love is who God is, and loving people is who God created us to be. When we are a disciple of Jesus, it's not just something we do or don't. How bright our light is will be a natural overflow when we choose to follow Jesus in our everyday. We get to look, to walk, to talk, to act, to love, just as Jesus did. So just as the light from this candle can be seen and felt, so should God's love for our neighbors be seen and felt through our love for them. While love is certainly something that we do, it actually comes from who we are.
Thinking about the light that comes out of a candle, a couple years back, my family had a great opportunity to visit the Caribbean island of Curaçao, which is off the coast of Venezuela. We, on the last full day, had an opportunity to go caving. So we did that. And to our utter surprise, at the very end, and we were gathered in this one chamber deep under the earth, the tour guide said, "Have any of you truly experienced darkness?" And we said, "We think so." And then, boom, he hit the lights off. And there was a darkness experienced that I've never seen before. A darkness so thick that you could cut it with a knife. And what was initially for the first 10 seconds somewhat amusing, and we were bedazzled by this darkness, a fear, a visceral anxiety began to creep into my heart of what happens if we got stuck down here and we're stuck in this perpetual darkness. Thankfully, 3 seconds later, the lights, boom, came back on and we were able to see each other. But you don't realize the depth and nature of darkness till you are truly without light. Without light, not only can you not see your environment, but you cannot see the faces of others around you. And Jesus speaks about how he is, and we as his followers now are the light of the world. And Jesus says that because he reminds us that without his light, the world is truly in darkness. Think about that.
Yeah, it makes me think of how light is just, and the love of Jesus is so necessary. But as it shines bright, especially if you're in a dark place like that, Peter, like a little bit of light shines really bright. The fact is, like, if you're in that darkness, Peter, like the first light that you see, you're running towards, right? Like, it's just that security, right? It somehow gathers. Like, you want to head towards the light, like, because it's providing safety and security. And I remember a year ago, probably in March, like the day before Connecticut started the stay-at-home order, we were like, hey, we don't know how really things are going to change. Maybe it's a couple of weeks, like as we've all thought, maybe a month. But we decided, hey, we're going to just, I'm going to start texting some neighbors and some friends, and we're just going to gather together, and we're going to have an impromptu campfire, and we're going to make some gourmet s'mores. And so, like, my wife and I were on it. Like, we went and got all the s'more stuff. I got all the wood. We were getting people to come. And then all of a sudden, people just started showing up. And you know anything about Connecticut Springs, it was like a chilly night, so you still needed a night where the fire and the hoodie was maybe not enough, right? And so you get really close. And I love that, because as you get closer together, and as you're centering yourself on the heat and the light that comes from that campfire, and then you're ingesting the same, like, delicious food, somehow something creates a moment where it's marked in your life forever. Like, those friends that showed up and those neighbors that showed up, like, we're creating space together and memories that we're friends and neighbors. We're sharing this common space, stories that they might not have shared if there wasn't the warmth and safety and security of that experience, that questions of what this looked like, how scared we were, what we were going to do. Are we going to be okay? Are we going to go totally insane by being at home all the time? That was me. Right? Like, I'm going to be insane. But somehow in that space, eating something together around something that gathered us together created a shared memory where the feeling of love for each other was bonded together in ways that you cannot imagine. It should be felt. It should be seen. That love should be felt and seen with our friends and especially our neighbors.
Thinking about food, as you mentioned, s'mores. My goodness, you know me.
There goes Peter.
If there is good food, I'm there. I'm a true foodie. And whether it's expensive food, street food, I'll be there. I shared during a spring break, our family wanted to get in one more ski trip in, and so we went to Killington. It was very slushy there in Vermont, but we were thankful that we were able to ski so late into the season. And I shared a story when we took a hike toward the end of our trip. My mother-in-law, with my father-in-law, who flew in from Chicago, were with us. And though they didn't ski with us, we took a leisurely stroll, a little hike. And I shared that what looked like weeds to me along the trail, my mother-in-law shrieked with delight like I've never heard her. And she started immediately picking the weeds. I said, what in the world is going on here? She said, do you know what this is? I said, I don't know. This is wild mountain garlic. This is the stuff I grew up as a kid back in Korea. This is expensive stuff. Quick, open up your shirts and put as much in as you can. I'm like, we're going to jail for this. Oh my goodness. And we literally picked quite a bit, although there was plenty, so please don't report me to the authorities. I don't want to go to jail. But we came back to the cabin that we'd rented. We battered them up in flour, fried them lightly with little salt, and that meal was amazing. It was so good that when we got back home here to Connecticut, my mother-in-law before, literally hours before we were dropping her off at the airport to fly back home to Chicago, showed us how to make kimchi out of that wild garlic. Kimchi is a Korean process where you basically pickle almost, you can make kimchi out of almost anything. And so she showed Kathy and the kids and myself how to do that. It was to die for. It was so good that we dropped some off to the neighbors that wouldn't be offended by wild mountain garlic that was kimchi, because we couldn't contain it to ourselves. It was so good, so precious, brought so much joy that we started dropping it off at our neighbor's house. And they're still our friends and they talk to us to this day. In fact, we still had some left over, so we said, pack the suitcase and send it back to Chicago. And we even sent it back home to family in Chicago. You see, when your heart is filled and touched, when you've experienced beauty and delight and joy, it has to be shared. It has to be shared. And once you experience the light and love of Jesus, it's not, oh boy, how can I share this with my neighbors? No, it's how can I not share this love and light with my literal neighbors that live on my street?
That's so good. And I think that's the thing that we would, as pastors, we would miss and be so disappointed, like only not only in ourselves, but like us as a church. If we're going through this series, how, if this love is so good not to share, what does it look like to share it? Like, what does it look like for you to go out now and about to go into your neighbors and say, like, man, how can I not share this? Well, I think to give you a couple practical things, the thought that came to me is St. Francis of Assisi said this: preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. When necessary, use words. And I remember that clearly. I was, if you've ever been over to my house, and maybe you just need to come over to my house, I won't announce it on the live stream, but I'll text it to you if you need it. But my kitchen sink, as we're doing the dishes, faces out, like there's a little window, and out of that window, I can see my neighbors across the street clearly. Let me say clearly, right? And it is often time where we're washing dishes, and we see people that drive through the neighborhood, or we see our neighbors come home. And our neighbors, in the middle of COVID, because they were both working at home, they needed an extra desk. And so they came back home in the pickup truck, and I was thinking maybe they get like an IKEA desk. No, no, no. They Facebook Marketplace, like this most old antique thing, desk in the back of the truck, tied it down. And then as I'm washing dishes, I'm in my own head, creepily looking at my neighbors, just staring, watching this good scene unfold, and I'm wondering, like, they're gonna drop that thing. It's gonna break everywhere. I'm like, no, 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 there's no way they're gonna get that through the door. Oh my gosh, and she is so small. Like, how in the world is she gonna pick this? This is good stuff. Like, this is Netflix original worthy stuff. And so I was just sitting there watching it, and I see them struggling to get it off. And he's fine, she's but for some reason, she took the heavy end, which I don't understand, by the way. And then all of a sudden, as I'm like enjoying this, about to see the best part of this scene unfold, like, of course, the Holy Spirit and Jesus shows up and he's like,
Austin, go help them.
And I was like, and because it's just such a conviction in me that I am a helper, I barely turned the water off, ran outside, soapy hands, no shoes, ran across in what was still my Saturday morning, like, you shouldn't show yourself in the neighborhood. And I ran out there. Y'all are like, I know that. Right? I picked it up and I was like, all right, here we go. So, and then we started to get it through and I was like, are you sure this is going to fit the door? Like, I measured it. And I was like, okay, dude. And so we twist it and we get it around and we lay it in there. We put it down. It's just in the center of the kitchen. And we put it down and they were like, thank you. We absolutely had no idea how we were not going to break this thing apart. And I thought at that moment, dude, this is when Jesus comes, says, share your story, share the love that you have for them, and don't even say a thing. And I just said, you're welcome, and I left. Because I wanted to get out of there and put on some regular clothes. But his light should be seen in tangible ways. In loving our neighbors tangibly, it should be seen with our physical hands and our feet.
Amen. Well, Austin, that's easy enough if you have neighbors that you like. But what about the neighbors who keep giving you the gift you don't really want? I'm a way different person than I was 15 years or so when my kids were little, and I've actually learned a thing or two from my former neighbors, the Brink family. Both Trish and Barry are engineers, and they do everything with excellence and great precision. And before I knew how neighboring and how super fun Halloween and trick-or-treating could be, Trish Brink turned her garage into this elaborate haunted house. And let's just say I wasn't thrilled when my, you know, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds were begging, please, Mom, we want to go. And come Easter, when I was really super trying to help them know that this was a day just about what Jesus did for us, and there is Barry Brink creating this elaborate egg hunt and egg catapult and all kinds of things for all the kids on our street. And being from the city, we really didn't play with guns in our home. And I came home from work one day, and there's this epic water gun battle all up and down the street. And what was the source of it was the Brink family. And super fun, right? Hindsight. But everything it seemed I'd rather not, Trish and Barry Brink would rather would. And they would do it again with so much excitement and so much excellence and with so much invitation for everyone to be a part every single time. But just because the Brink family in my world, in my view, was a little extra, it doesn't mean that I got an out from loving them. While I was clearly preoccupied with being legalistic, Trish, my non-Christian neighbor, was teaching me that loving without words means serving. It means being generous. It means being available and a person who follows through. It means inviting and welcoming and kind of all of the time.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you know this little song, Hide It Under a Bushel.
Nope.
I'm gonna let it
shine.
Do it again.
Hide it under a bushel.
Nope.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let it
shine.
Friends, people will see your light, and they'll notice if it's dim or if it's bright. So let's shine as bright as we can.
Yeah, let's shine bright. And I think the truth is that as you love without words and you start to shine bright, we start to look a little bit like Jesus. And let me tell you, we should. For followers of Jesus, we should look like Jesus. Like Jesus was healing the sick. He was spitting in blind man's face. He was healing and forgiving sins to friends who were lower and down that shouldn't even be in the same room. He was hanging out with tax collectors. He was eating with sinners. He was in the middle of Samaria with a woman he should never be in front. And when you're in front of people doing things that absolutely make no sense, people are going to start asking, why? Like, that's the thing about loving our neighbors without words, is that at some point, the question is, because you're going to be looking so much like Jesus, and just as Jesus not only did all these things, but had people following him around lakes in order to see not only what he did, but then to hear what he said. So our neighbors should be seeing what we're doing and then asking us, who in the world are you? And in that moment, we do the same thing that Jesus did. Is that we glorify our Father in heaven, who says we shine brightly because that's who we are made to be. And we love in tangible ways because that is who our Savior was. And so that realistically then should be who I am. And when I do then have the opportunity to say why, it's not to say, man, out of my own goodness, somehow I deserve the praise for what I have done. We say, no, absolutely not. Great is your faithfulness to me, God. It is to you and your glory, not to my goodness.
That's so good, Austin. Our words, they do not proclaim our goodness. They proclaim the gospel that has transformed us and causes us then to live that gospel truth out loud, that gospel of love. Corrie Ten Boom once said, in darkness, God's light shines most clear. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stated, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Jesus Christ said, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When my husband unexpectedly died about 18 months ago, I actually thought that my light had gone out. But this wasn't true. Even in my great despair, God has continued to keep my light shining. Glory be to God. Hindsight helps me to see that sometimes this has come through transparent and intentional sharing about those struggles, about those things really going on deep inside of me, and how through it and in it all, God is very real and extremely relevant. Sometimes it's come through expressing gratitude or thanksgiving, or sharing of the abundant provision of God in so many different ways in this season. It's meant continuing to invite people in and to build relationship and grow connections, even when honestly, my first choice would have been just to cave up and stay in bed for the day. God has taught me that there is always a great purpose for this light that he gives us. And sometimes the very brightest thing that we can do is to shine that light on the pieces of us that need just a little bit more of God's tender, loving care. Church, God is not done with me yet, and he's not done with you. Shine your light and share your story.
Yes, Diane, it's an incredibly important reminder for us to take the light of Christ and to shine it wherever we are in our lives, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our marriages, in our friendships. Though many of us live in beautiful neighborhoods, then when we first look, we think everything is fine. Do they really need Jesus in their lives? They seem to be getting along fine without him. But if we truly understand that Jesus is the light of the world, then the answer to that is definitely yes. So my question as we end our time together is, so what does it look like when we try to love neighbors first without words and then maybe with words? I believe, as both Diane and Austin have shared in different ways and stories, that neighbors need to tangibly feel the love of Jesus that flows naturally out of your lives. And we do that whether they make a decision for Christ or not, because it is the Holy Spirit that does the converting and the changing and the transforming. We are only His hands and feet. So we love, and love hurts. Love costs. Love is inconvenient. Love causes us to stop looking at our own needs and my children and grandchildren and my spouses. And what about the needs of those that literally live feet away from my home in my own neighborhood? And so as we do that, as we pursue God and His passion for people, as we learn to biblically neighbor well, the Holy Spirit will lead us to a God-given moment as we create margins and spaces in our lives to prodigally, what looks like wasting time, as we chit-chat with neighbors, invite them over, connect with them, serve them, help them carry something up their home in the middle of washing dishes, as Austin shared, you will have a God opportunity to share the words of Jesus from Scripture that flow out of your life. I saw on Facebook one of our neighbors just lost his dad. And very easy to write something really quick. Sorry for your loss. You move on with your life. But God really spoke to me, said, it's been a while since you've connected with them. Took a bunch of flowers, walked over. The door was cracked open. I'm like, what's going on? Are they not home? I know they're getting some painting done. Rang the doorbell. They're going to think I'm a crazy person trying to sell something. But I wouldn't give up. I went around to the garage. The car wasn't there. Okay, maybe they're not home. Let me leave these flowers or the car. And he was home. Offered condolences. And just as I was leaving, would it be okay if I could just pray for you as you are mourning the loss of your beloved father? He said, absolutely. And there at the doorway, I stretch out my hands, pray that God would fill the hole that only He can fill when you lose a mom or dad. And with tears, he thanked me. And there was that God-given moment to share the love tangibly, bringing flowers, God running over, ringing the doorbell like crazy, and sharing through a prayer directed and soaked in the love of Jesus Christ. Shine your light brightly, for that's what light does. And watch what God will do.